This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. This is episode 142. But gosh, it might as well be episode 145. It took us three or four times before we finally nailed down what it is that we were wanting to talk about. And I think it's because what we wanted to talk about is a little bit confusing. Right now, Laura and I both are seeing a lot of couples who are just kind of stuck and feel atrophied and don't know what to do. They want really clear advice about what should they actually do. And I actually think it's the wrong question. I think what we need to be focused on is who are we going to be? And so this episode is really about how to change your mindset toward being intentional. I think we call it three tools for an intentional marriage, but tools are always predicated on the idea that you know what you're building. So part of it is knowing what you're in it for, and part of it is knowing how to use the resources you have available to chase the result that you desire. So as always, it's a cool conversation. Stick around. So take four.
Good morning. It is take four. You guys, we recorded an episode and then sent it to our producer. And I would say I sent you a text, right? And I said, that was absolute crap. We cannot air that. And you thought it was fine.
That's what you said.
You thought it was fine.
I thought it was fine. Yeah. Well, we have different ideas. Crap.
Let me tell you, just here's what happened in the episode. We had a 4-minute interlude of just straight laughter, right?
One of us was laughing. Yeah.
Well, no, there was water coming from your eyes.
Please.
You wiped your eyes a lot. Yeah.
I was sad.
You were not. We lost it. No. Anyway, so now it's a rare occasion where Zach is up before 9 a.m. On a weekend, which is really lovely. So, yeah.
Right on. Yeah.
So I appreciate you.
Can I tell you the best way I wasted time this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd love to hear it.
So our new favorite thing to do in our house is watch game shows on TV.
Okay.
And so we watch like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the new one with Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
And then we watch The Weakest Link with Jane Lynch.
Okay.
And I like to call it You Are the Weakest Link Goodbye. Like I'll say, hey, Reb, do you want to watch You Are the Weakest Link Goodbye? Because that's what she says. She says, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So we're watching it and I'm crushing this game. Like I'm getting all the answers right. I'm definitely going to win all the money.
I believe it.
And my wife and my kids are like, Dad, you should totally try out for this show.
Ooh.
And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I should try out for this show. And so Rebecca goes online and she like pulls up the application and she starts it for me. She like pulls up the You Are the Weakest Link Goodbye application. And I start filling it out. And it's really fun. It took me like 45 minutes. I'm answering all these questions. And I'm super clever. I'm like, they're definitely going to pick me. 100% I'm going to be on this show. And I go to submit my application. And it's like the confirmation page, which says something like, all applications must be submitted by August 14th, 2020.
Okay.
And I was like,
wah, wah.
What? What just happened? It's December. And I just spent 45 minutes filling out this questionnaire and getting all my hopes up about how I was going to be on this talk show or this game show.
But you had fun, and right? You had fun doing it.
It was super fun. Yeah. And then I also got mad at Rebecca for not noticing the deadline before and then wasting all my time.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that was a good one. I could be like, I'm going to get mad about this.
Right.
Instead of something, important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you have wasted your time in a really effective way. Hey, can I tell you, I broke down and bought something that I have been meaning to buy for a very long time. That's funny. That is funny. No, I bought a home gym. I'm so excited.
What kind of home gym?
Well, basically I bought like all Nordic Track stuff. I mean,
okay.
I had this moment.
You skipped over the Peloton phase?
Well, I mean, I really love Pelotons, but the problem is that I really need it now. I'm very out of shape. And so I need it now. And everything's in lockdown right now, again. And I think with the holidays, it's going to be locked down even harder. So anyway, I got a bike and a treadmill and then one of those weight sets that goes from like 5 to 55 pounds. And I am so motivated. You guys can join me on I'm calling it Operation No More Cottage Cheese. And that's what I'm super excited
around your waist. Around your waist.
Well, women put cottage cheese like on all over in different places, but yeah.
That was mean. I didn't mean that. I was just.
That's all right. I don't think you've actually seen my waist, so I don't take offense to it. If you were like around.
You know what I realized? Do you want to hear something that I realized? What? I have never once met your kid.
You have met. Yes, you have. Live?
No,
in person.
I haven't.
Oh, nope. In person. You've never met him. You've talked to him.
Yeah.
You've seen him over the phone.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I taught him how to do the Rubik's Cube, except he's a quitter. He gave up after the first step.
Oh, man. I actually really wanted you to say that to him to his face next time. You save that line for Holden, sweet five-year-old.
No, just play in the podcast.
Okay. I will. All right. Here's what we're going to do.
We are not going to do what we did before because it was crap.
It was crap, according to what Laura had to say. No, we're going to give you three tools for an intentional marriage. And this comes from an ebook that we made a while ago, but we haven't really done much with it. Like we haven't looked at it. We haven't talked about it. So we're going back. We're pulling out some content from our closet that we created a long time ago. And we're going to give you best practices for moving through your marriage on purpose, which I think is a cool tool.
Yeah. It's kind of timely too, because I mean, the thing that I keep running up against with couples all the time is that they just feel, like a lack of inertia. Like they're just not, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. And I don't mean to continue to blame it on the lockdown, which is relevant, but just like it's making people kind of look inward and go, what am I supposed to do? What am I actually supposed to do?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in thinking about that, I was like, well, there are at least a few low hanging fruits that you can grab onto. So that's what we're talking about. Three tools for an intentional marriage. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, if you guys are readers like I am, there's a book that's called The Intentional Marriage. It's by Bill Doherty. And have you read that book, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure.
You have not. That is 100% lie. I have not read it. I will be fully honest, but, it is a concept that John Gottman talks about when he teaches and Julie Gottman, and they're really big on, you know, like being intentional about your relationship. And so what we're doing is we're kind of pulling some of these ideas together that we really like. So what's the first one? First tool.
Cool. Yeah. So the first tool, at least on the list that we have today, is what's called a common enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I end up talking to couples, particularly in a first session or two, what I really want them to do is to figure out what is outside the relationship that is a threat to them both.
Right.
There's lots and lots of things that you can look at inside the relationship that's a threat to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is where, you know, conflict becomes especially tense because you are the threat versus the work that it takes to externalize any threat, call it COVID, call it your mother-in-law, call it your financial strain, call it the weather.
The school system. That's my threat. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. At the meta level, at like kind of the big heady level, it's also like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Externalize contempt and criticism and defensiveness and stonewalling so that the two of you recognize that those things are trying to create some kind of rift between you. And I think when couples have a common enemy, they can rally together, right? It's way easier to defeat an enemy together than it is to kind of tackle it on your own.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's kind of fun. And I was just talking actually to a couple, or maybe I had an aha moment. I don't know what it is, but I've been thinking a lot about like the four horsemen and how you can externalize those and how sometimes criticism in particular comes up where when your partner's criticizing you sort of underneath it, they're seeking, they want closeness. But it's really tough to hear that through the criticism. And I've been thinking a lot about how you can externalize that and view your partner as someone who's really just trying to reach for you or connect with you in some way. And they're just kind of screwing it up and criticizing you anyway. And, just thinking about how you can try and externalize something as simple as criticism or defensiveness can shift that entire dynamic for the two of you.
I actually think it's one of the most effective and rewarding ways that you can externalize the Four Horsemen. And when it comes to criticism in particular, this is where I think the couple can really learn how to help. Because if I'm feeling criticized, that's a feeling I'm having. And I have a choice there. I can choose to get defensive if I want to.
Right.
Or I can just recognize the feeling and then exercise my autonomy or my responsibility. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing about my wife, perhaps, who is criticizing me. The reason she's criticizing me is because she wants something to change.
Right.
She wants something to be different.
Yeah.
And so she's using criticism, which is a bad strategy.
Yep.
It's a toxic strategy. It's a destructive strategy. And to complain. She's using criticism to complain.
Mm-hmm.
And complaining is also not that great because people use complaining because they use complaint to ask for something.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say I'm feeling criticized by Rebecca. The way that I can personally agree with her or join her in opposing the Four Horsemen is for me to say, hey, babe, does not feel good. I'm about to get defensive. Uh-huh. Are you trying to ask me for something?
Yeah.
Because I think neither one of us wants to go to the criticism defensiveness route, but maybe you're trying to ask me for something. That's us.
Yeah.
Partnering against criticism as a horseman that we are protecting our home from.
100%.
And so I actually dig it where I'm just like, okay, I'm aware that you are, I mean, frankly, I'm aware that you're being nasty, being gross, and I can be gross too.
Right.
Or I can go, okay, gross has entered the room. How do we get gross out of the room?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot.
And it goes both ways. I don't, obviously I'm guilty of the same and it goes all over the house, but
yeah, but it's a team effort. The two of you are in it together. And
agreement.
Yeah. I've been telling you that I've been going down this road of, sort of trying to kind of put another certification under my belt. And that certification is called emotionally focused couples therapy. And the creator is Sue Johnson, and she basically says, like, step one is identifying that common enemy. And I'm using this language, but it's basically like looking at this sort of dance that the two of you get into. So if you and Rebecca typically get into, and you use that just as an example, but I know that you tend toward defensiveness. If the dance is she criticizes and then you get in it with her, like you sort of like either counterattack, which I think is probably what ends up happening. That's the dance. That's the thing that you guys are saying, hey, this is our common enemy, is this dynamic that we have going on. And I think it would be really an interesting exercise for our listeners to figure out, like, what is our common enemy? What is the dance that the two of us get into, whether it be criticism, attack, maybe it's like attack, defend. But it would just be really interesting to have them identify, like, what is that external thing that both of us are in agreement that we don't want this to happen. And just as you called it gross, like gross entered the room, I love for people to give it a name. When you name things, it makes it so much, it does help to externalize it. Like, what is the name of this external thing so that you're not, you know, making it about your partner? This isn't Rebecca that is your enemy. This is gross is your enemy.
I really want to emphasize this again, that I do this with clients in the first or second setting, because it is imperative that you have some sense of what we're up against and why and how we're going to leverage each other and take advantage of it. I'm reading this book right now. I'm not embarrassed about it. It's actually kind of fun. But when I was in middle school, did I tell you this already?
No, but
I'm reading a Dungeons and Dragons book. And
I thought you were going to say you're reading Come As You Are. I'm so confused.
No. This is one I'm reading for fun.
For pleasure. For me. Okay. Dungeons and Dragons, D&D, got it.
Yeah, but it's a book that I read in middle school. It's the first book of maybe 20 that I read in middle school about these set of characters who are just like walking around and stabbing things and like zombies and dragons and all that stuff.
Okay.
It's terrible. The book is so terrible. It's so bad, but it's really fun for me because I used to have like action figures. I would actually play out scenes from this novel with little action figures that I had in my backyard.
Okay.
But
wow.
But it all goes to this, which is, this group of characters, they all bug each other in lots of different kinds of ways. But when there's a giant, you know, poison slug that wants to kill them, they all drop into their giftedness, and they put aside their, like, their bicker, their quarreling, right? And I think that is what makes a healthy team, what makes a healthy relationship, it's what makes a healthy, you know, band of you know, travelers walking around, stabbing things and shooting arrows at them.
Okay, hold on. Can I go back to something that just really, I think you nailed it. You said they drop into their giftedness. And I think that that to me is like way cool. And when you think about it, if you've identified a common enemy, and maybe the enemy is, hey, we're getting ready to do the holidays with your parents, and they're the enemy. It's like, how do we drop into our giftedness?
Your Christmas tree could be your common enemy. Like, the angriest I've ever been at, my top five angry I've ever been in my entire life, ever was at a Christmas tree stand and a Christmas tree.
Hold on. I know two out of five, cause I know the milk incident and I know the Christmas tree incident. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
Why did you get angry?
Rebecca came home, saw that cause I couldn't get the Christmas tree on the stand on. It was like bothering me. She came home and she was like, she had a choice to be like, you're insane. Like, why are you getting so mad? This is ridiculous. Like, I don't understand your temper here. Like, could have totally went inside, got me a sledgehammer.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
And?
Brought it back outside. And she's like, here, just get it over with. And just took the sledgehammer to the Christmas tree stand. And it was the most cathartic thing. And you destroyed it. Yeah. But that was a bonding memory for me.
Yeah.
In my marriage. Yeah.
Yes. I love it. All right. Okay. So we're talking about three tools for an intentional marriage. So we just talked about creating a common enemy, recognizing the common enemy, discussing it, making sure that the two of you are aligning. Number two, I'm going to let you pick this one. Walls and windows.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to let me pick it? Or you just
how it is in my house. I go, honey, I'll go ahead and let you decide. But this is what I've already made decision for us.
I mean, I think we've already had half of this conversation. So this metaphor comes out of Shirley Glass's book. Shirley Glass's book is called Not Just Friends. And it's kind of the therapist Bible on infidelity. And we recommend it always to clients who are coming in and want to kind of make sense of what's going on. In the case of infidelity, but the metaphor survives even outside of that specific application. It is this idea of couples who are thriving. They have built really effective walls around their relationship.
Yeah.
And that's basically just boundaries, right? That they built effective boundaries around the relationship, and they do a good job of sort of cleaning or polishing the windows into one another's lives. So walls and windows. So couples who are thriving and who they have really like clear boundaries around the relationship that protect it from external threat that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have really clear view into one another's world and their life and their stuff. I guess we could still stick around with the walls, but I'm more interested to hear what you think about this idea of windows in terms of as effective tool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talk about, I would say if we were going to like create a major theme around our podcast, it would be that I think we use the word curiosity in every single episode, but the idea of having windows, I mean, you imagine you have walls around the relationship and then you have windows between the two of you. And the windows are these ideas of just being really open and transparent is the word that I use a lot when I talk about the windows, is transparency between you and your partner. And that transparency comes in a lot of different ways. It's being forthcoming with your partner. It's not keeping secrets from your partner. But I think it's not, it's less about what it's not. It's more about what you are doing to remain open and curious and committed to knowing your partner and understanding who they are on the inside. And so, I mean, that comes with really great dialogue, that comes with, you know, being intrigued and like wanting to join in on your partner's world as often as possible. And I think about times where, you know, my husband's life is very separate from mine. Sometimes he's golfing, he has golf buddies that he spends time with, and he has his work that he does his things in his office with people tap, tap, tapping on the computer.
He does his work with the stuff, with the computer, with the computer that he taps stuff, on.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just, it's leaning into the parts of your partner's world and just getting really curious about what's happening for them. Yeah, there's a lot that can impact a human being, and keeping the windows, I like that you said polish, keeping the windows between the two of you clean and polished is really kind of lovely. I guess I'm sort of wondering for you, the listener, how, if you were to take a look at your windows, what would your windows look like? Like, are they grimy? Are they covered
into one another's lives?
Into one another's lives, right. Like, are they covered in soot? Have you not even like gone to that window in a long time? Have you drawn the curtain between you and your partner and just said, you know what? Like, I'm not interested in you seeing into me right now. Like, have you put up some sort of a wall between the two of you? Because what ends up happening over time in unhealthy relationships is that those windows and those walls end up getting reversed. And we talk a lot about how this ends up being sort of the slippery slope into infidelity, where if you're reversing your windows and walls, you're putting a wall up between you and your partner. You're no longer accessible to them, but they can't reach you. And then you're putting a window between you and the outside world, maybe, you know, coworker. And what that window might look like is that you're sharing personal details about yourself with a coworker, or you're making.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be that specific. Like, I think you're right. The power of this metaphor is in this idea of what happens when they get reversed. Because we all know what it's like to feel like there's a wall between us and our partner.
Yeah.
But the windows into the external world, it could be someone else. It could be the barista or, some whatever. But it also could be just like your obsession with fantasy football or your job or the window that you give your drinking buddies into your life, or the window that you give lots of gamers. They're constantly in touch with people that they never even meet ever. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't need to be specific. It needs to be intentional, right? We are we're doing maintenance on this wall around the relationship.
Right.
And we're doing maintenance on these windows between us and polishing them so that we can see clearly into one another's life. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing too, if I reverse engineer this, as I'm prone to do, one thing I've been saying to couples a lot lately is we get in trouble when we're guessing. When I'm guessing what my partner's thinking or what my partner's going to do or what my partner feels about a particular thing, and then I don't check in with that guess, I don't test the hypothesis. Mm-hmm. That's not a clear window scenario. The clear window scenario is when I'm confused or I'm guessing and I go, hey, this seems a little murky to me.
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off. No, not wax. What do you do?
Wax on, wax off.
He didn't do windows. Daniel didn't do windows. He painted the fence, he waxed on, waxed off, and then he.
Did you ever, hold on, side note. Did you ever hear the story about the Windowwasher?
The Windowwasher?
Yes. I've come to wash your windows. No, anyone? Yeah, when you know, you know. And I know there has to be someone who knows the ghost story about the window washer.
I'm not going to know this before like the next like couple minutes.
I will have Holden call you personally and tell you the story about the window washer
and I will call him a quitter.
Okay, perfect. That's a true friendship.
Is it cool if I try to make Holden cry? Could I try to make him cry?
Sure. I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he has cried from hurt feelings. Maybe once or twice. But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be an older male figure in his life.
Yeah. New mission in life. Crush. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we go on to number three, I just want to tell you something that I texted you the other day, but I just double checked again. So I went to Apple's iPod top charts and I clicked on kids and family.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're on the chart.
Here's the thing that scares me a little bit is that when you said that we were under the theme of kids and family, There's a lot of inappropriate content that comes. I mean, I had a whole story about fluffers. I mean, I say inappropriate things and you go along with it.
Sure. The reason I found this chart is because a buddy of mine has a podcast and he's like,
did you want to beat him?
I do, but he's way higher than us.
Is he in the same category?
He's number 30. And we're presently number 105.
Okay. Well, we need to.
But can I tell you? But here's something cool. Ready for this part?
All right.
The Holderness family, the super famous YouTube video weirdos that sing the songs.
Yeah.
They're number 108.
Wait, and what are we?
105.
Oh, that feels really good inside.
Right? So my actual friend that I actually know who actually has a podcast, he's way higher than me. I don't really care, but beating the Holderness family.
It feels good.
It's like a notch in my cap. Yeah.
All right. Let's bring some value to our listeners that are sticking with us. Okay. Number three tools for the intentional marriage
is rituals and routines. And this is like, it seems like this is obvious, like duh, but the reality is, again, a lot of people are feeling stuck and stagnant because a lot of our rituals and routines, particularly around the holidays, have been removed from us.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we float around untethered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been trying to, or I think it's important that couples try to reintroduce new rituals, new routines that help reinforce that, you know, we are still part of a system that has, I think one time I called it a next, like we have a next, because on Tuesday nights we do tacos. Taco Tuesday is a thing in our house.
Yes.
That is important. You know?
Yeah. I like to think about it. Like, when I start talking to couples, specifically couples that don't have children yet, or ever. And I ask them like, what kind of rituals do you guys have? What are some things like moments in your life that are really special that you really look forward to? It's connecting for the two of you. It's creating richness. And they kind of look at me like a dog, you know, like who cocks their head to the side, like deer in the headlights. Like, I don't think we have any rituals. And then what I asked them, I said, okay, here's what I want you to think about. I want for you to tell me about what it was like growing up in your family and tell me about some of your favorite holidays. And so they start telling the story of like, well, you know what, like around Christmas, I really loved it because grandma would always come over and she would do, cookies with us and we would make, and every year we made Christmas cookies. And then every year on Christmas Eve, we would sit down and we would watch like Elf or whatever. And then, you know, and then like you start to figure out the things that stick with you as an adult, like the memories stick with you because it was repetition. It was something that you did year after year after year. It was really special. That's a freaking ritual. And I love the idea of rituals, especially right now, like what you said of feeling kind of untethered, specifically right now in the world, is that our rituals kind of got blown up. Like I don't get to go to the gym every morning. And so therefore Laura is now in Operation Cottage Cheese. So I have to create my own ritual. And that ritual is that I'm going to be waking up every morning. And anyway,
going to your home gym,
going to my home gym. Yeah. So, but what I think I said to you a while ago is that I'm leaning way into Christmas this year. Like way into Christmas because there is so much chaos and there's so much unknown that I figured, well, I'm going to ground my family in having the most amazing holiday this year. I'm going all out. And, in fact, we're going to go Christmas tree hunting. That's my hard stop this morning is that we're going to go get another tree.
Awesome.
Number two.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I added any value to that. I just wanted to talk.
Probably not. Yeah. I think the thing about rituals though, even as you're describing, like they're big, they're meaningful. They create stories that we tell over and over again for decades. And those are important. Have those 100%. Yes. But you might also need little ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why I care about this, but I do. I'll be watching sports and something cool will happen, like a touchdown or something.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy will run over to his other buddy and they'll do like a handshake that they've clearly choreographed in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is like, so like clever and cool to me. I'm like, husbands and wives ought to have this or partners ought to have this.
Like my husband and I have something like that. He inappropriately swipes me in the kitchen. You know what I'm talking about? I just did a hand gesture.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Yep. We live in a tiny house. And so I just have to do whatever I can to keep my head on straight. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I do almost every single day is that when I get out of the shower, I put on a big towel. I just have a big old towel. It's super big. And then I walk around my house.
Okay.
Until I can find anyone at all. And there's only three people in there. But if I find them, which is easy because our house is tiny, I say this every single time, 100% of the time. I say, Mary. And she's like, what? And I'm like, one of my favorite things to do when I get out of the shower is to wrap myself up in this towel and walk around. And every time she thinks it's like, I'm going to say something new or clever,
right,
or Rebecca did whatever. And I say these, one of my favorite things to do when I get out of the shower is to wrap myself up in this towel and walk around.
Zach, there are times
that's
where
a ritual.
I think
that's a ritual, but let me tell you something. You can say what you're going to say, but I'm going to tell you this. The days I don't do that, everybody's like, what happened? What's wrong? Like, are you in a hurry? Are you okay, Dad? Is there something wrong? Like, no, but this is the thing about rituals, right? When you miss them, you miss them.
Right.
They matter.
Yes.
They mark time. They make meaning.
Yep.
And even if it's stupid, and it can still create culture inside your house. And I think that's what makes an intentional relationship, is creating culture inside your house.
Oh, you just nailed it for me, as they make meaning, right? Like, it doesn't have to be anything. It could be you being a ridiculous, obnoxious father that picks on his daughters, but they're going to remember the silliest things that Dad used to do when, you know, you're on your deathbed. They're going to be like, remember that big old towel, Dad, that you used to wrap yourself up in?
Totally. 100% that's going to happen. Or I'm going to be dead, and they're going to go into their kid's room. Yeah. They're going to go into their children's room, and their kids are going to be like 14 and 17.
Yeah.
And they're going to be sleepy and, you know, whatever, all headed. And this is what they're going to do. They're going to go, rise and shine and
give God the glory,
rise and shine and give God. And then they're going to go, rise and shine and give God the glory, children.
Yeah.
And their kids are going to yell at them, and they're going to throw things at them, and they're going to call them names, but then they're going to think of me.
Do you do that to your kids?
100%. Yes.
Will you wake me up on my birthday with that song?
I don't know when your birthday is.
I will send you a calendar reminder. Don't worry, because that would make me feel so good.
My friend Noah, who I've talked about on the podcast before, his birthday is in November.
Yeah.
And I just write him, like, whenever I remember that it's November, I just write him a note that says happy birthday so that I can get it. I hit it somehow.
Yeah.
Because when we were living together in college, I had one of those calendars that you put the page off every single day. Mm-hmm. And I pulled the page off one day in November, and it said, yesterday was Noah's birthday. He had written it on there to make me feel like shit. Uh-oh. Kids and Family podcast.
That's right.
Number 105.
No cursing.
All right. So did we talk about rituals and routines? Listen, here's the main thing. They create meaning, and you should have them if you want to have a relationship on purpose. What?
I think it's time for me to go cut down a tree. That's just all I'm saying.
We found our tree. We found our forever tree last year in like aisle 17.
Yeah.
Of the local,
I think I told you I had to buy
a local forever tree store.
Yeah, I bought a new forever tree this year because I was really leaning into Christmas, and it's great, but I'm also going big. So we're going to create ritual right now. We're going to go roast hot dogs out in the wilderness, and we're going to build a bonfire with some friends who are socially distanced from us, and we're going to let them cut the tree down, and I'm going to drag it on a sled back to the truck, and it's going to be great. All right. With that, I bid you adieu, sir. I hope you enjoy your Saturday.
I was going to tell you one more thing, but I decided not to.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Just as a reminder, this podcast is coming out on December 8th, which means it's also the first day of the Are We Roommates Summit. It goes from the 8th until the 11th of December 2020, in case you're listening to this episode a little late. If you want to register, go to our website, marriagetherapyradio.com. If you scroll just a little bit ways down, you'll find the tab. It is entirely free for you to join this live event and listen to over 30 experts solving the one problem of, if you had 30 days to bring greater connection, How would you go about doing that? If you are looking for lifetime access, you can have that for less than $100. And you can find all that information on our website. Hey guys, thanks so much for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.